It's 5 minutes before 11 o'clock in the morning. A short while ago, Francis Riley was taken from city jail, put in an unmarked police sedan with Lieutenant Halverson. Since then, he's ridden in silence beside the lieutenant. Francis Riley is afraid. His mouth feels dry. He keeps turning his head to look at the traffic behind the police sedan. And Lieutenant Halverson, who's been watching the boy, speaks suddenly.
Francis?
Yes, sir?
What's the matter? You jumped a mile when I spoke to you. Roll down the window if you want. Fresh air. You're white as a sheet.
I'm okay.
You look awfully pale. You thinking about what you're going to see?
Maybe. See, I've never been to a morgue.
Yeah? If you're scared of what you're going to see, how come you keep looking behind us?
Can I look out the window if I want to?
Sure you can, son. Sure you can. See anything interesting? I think I can promise you'll be interested in what you're going to see.
Lieutenant, take me back. Take me back.
To the jail?
Yes, sir. Please, Lieutenant, take me back.
Oh, but we're here, kid.
I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go anywhere but back to jail. Please, Lieutenant, please.
Nothing in this building is going to hurt you, son.
I don't care about that.
All right, then let's go inside.
I don't want to get out of this car.
Now, there are no police markings in the car. Nobody noticed you. I made sure nobody saw us leave the jail. Now get yourself some backbone and step out of here. Come on.
Please hurry, Lieutenant.
Sure, sure. Do you feel better now that we're inside?
Yeah. Did you say morgue?
Mm-hmm. We go this way.
What's that?
Hmm?
It sounds like machinery. Like machines running way off someplace.
Of course. They use machinery in here. Are you cold?
Yeah, a little.
Seems nice and warm to me. We go in this door.
Well, hello, Francis.
Hello, Mr. Mason.
Hello, Francis.
Mr. Lieutenant, Mr. Mason. This isn't a morgue.
Yes, it is. A newspaper morgue where they keep back copies of every edition.
That noise you heard is the presses in the basement.
But I... Hey, I don't get it.
You will. Come over to this table.
Sit down.
Now, Francis. Now, wait. Don't look at those newspapers yet. We're in this room for two reasons. One, all of us think that you are basically a decent boy who made a single mistake and who wants to make up for that mistake. There's another reason you're here. You can help make up for it by telling us what you know.
Mr. Mason,
let me finish. You stole a car, and you wrecked it. You were lucky. You might well have killed yourself, or some innocent person. If you haven't thought of that, a lot of us don't. We think of a stolen car in terms of the money involved. There's more to it. Now, these newspaper stories happened in the past year. Take a look at some of them. For example, this. This is a photograph of Motor Patrolman Patrick McDonough. Patrick McDonough was killed February 2nd, 53, while pursuing two teenage youths in a stolen car. Fine-looking man, isn't he?
Was. I knew Pat personally.
Here's a picture of his widow and children.
I also had the duty of informing that girl what happened to Pat.
Here's another story. This isn't pretty. This is a picture of Dorothy Chafee, age 3 1/2. This photograph was taken immediately after... No, don't turn your head away. Look at them, Riley. Read the caption under this picture of Dorothy Chafee, age 3.
Dorothy Chafee, 3, was killed while playing on the sidewalk outside her home. The little girl was killed instantly when a stolen car driven by William A. Fox in 19 skidded out of control and ran up on the sidewalk. Well, Mr. Mason...
There's a lot more, Riley. Here's one that'll interest you. Two youths killed when their stolen car overturned at a high rate of speed. There you can see the results.
I don't want to see.
Neither do we. That's why we're talking to you. And why you will talk to us.
I don't know anything.
Look at these, Francis. You haven't even started looking at them.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mason.
Sorry enough to talk?
I don't know anything.
I think you do. I think you worked for the syndicate responsible for these stories. And I also think you've got information, important information, or you wouldn't be as scared as you are. But I showed you these stories in an effort to make an impression on you. You're covering up for the people responsible for these things that happened. You ready to talk?
I don't know anything.
Alvison?
It's up to you, Mr. Mason.
Okay. Now we're going to take the gloves off, Riley.
What?
We're going to quit handling you with kid gloves. This is your last chance.
I can't tell you anything, Mr. Mason.
You can and you will. You'll be afraid not to.
Why do you keep saying I'm scared? What have I got to be scared about?
We'll find out.
I'm not scared.
No? Lieutenant?
He wouldn't leave the jail voluntarily until I threatened to get a court order. He was scared to have it out in the open.
No, it wasn't that exactly.
I had to almost shove him out on the sidewalk to get him in a police car. Riding over here, his face was as white as that sheet of paper. I could see real good because he kept turning around to look behind us. When we stopped outside this building, I had to practically shove him out of the car. We got all the way in this room before he realized that he was in a newspaper building. I say he's scared.
So do I. Now, Francis, I'm a lawyer, not a newspaper man. You any idea how I got the privilege of this room?
I guess you got a drag with the newspaper.
Uh-huh. One of the columnists is a close friend. You understand? I want to be certain that you understand.
Yes, sir. You've got a friend who works here.
Mm-hmm. He'll print anything in his column I ask him to. You understand that? For example, if I ask him to print a story about you and Lieutenant Halverson here, my friend will print that story. You following me, Francis?
I guess so. What story?
I'll tell you. Sit down to typewriter, Miss Street, please. Paper?
Yes, thank you. All right.
The planted story to read about as follows. To convey the idea that... No, change that. Change that. The definite statement that Lieutenant Donald Halverson, Auto Theft Squad, is about to crack a huge auto theft syndicate. Lieutenant Halverson has a witness, Francis Riley, 19. And Riley is willing to talk. To talk and name names, including important members of the syndicate who are...
You can't do it! You want to kill me? You want to see me dead? You want them to cut me up in little pieces? Is that what you want? Don't do it, Mr. Mason. Please, don't!
Put another sheet of paper in that typewriter, Miss Street.
Yes, sir.
No, don't!
Lieutenant,
standing in front of him, Mr. Mason.
All right. The definite statement to read. Francis Riley is willing to talk. To talk and name names.
Let me go. I called me, Lieutenant. I gotta stop him.
There's just one way to stop me, Riley.
I can't tell you anything.
Then this story will appear in the newspaper.
Don't kill me. Don't get to me anywhere. You gotta believe me, Mr. Mason.
I do.
You gotta... You do believe me, then...
But
then...
all the same, I'm going to have it printed.
Mr. Mason, you haven't got a heart. You don't care what happens to me.
I'm sorry for you, Riley. But I'm even more sorry for Pat McDonough and his children. For little Dorothy Chafee, age 3 1/2. And for the other Dorothys and the other Pat McDonoughs. And for the other kids like you who got roped into something so they're scared to get out. You're one person, Frank Riley. And if I have to let them go after you to get a lead, I'll do it. Look at me. No, look at me. You think I'm bluffing?
No. No. All right, Mr. Mason, I'll tell you what you want to know. Only don't print that story, please. Please, it's not just me. It's my mother. I'm telling you the truth, Mr. Mason. They wouldn't stop with just me.
Okay, tell him. Tear that up. Come on over here with me, son. Wash your face.
You know him better than I do, Miss Street. You think he'd really let Jacobson print that story if the boy hadn't broken down?
What do you think, Lieutenant?
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought so before he said he would. I hardly think so now, but... I was standing behind the kid when Mason told him to look him in the eye. I saw what the kid saw.
And?
I don't know. I had a feeling right then that I wouldn't want to get in Mason's way. I'm glad he's on our side, hmm?
Perry Mason took a great deal of time and trouble in order to make Francis Riley talk. Obviously, Mr. Mason feels Riley's information is important. We'll learn tomorrow, so by all means, join us, won't you?